T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, here I am. Welcome back. It's the second course of the Food Show, and this is that program that we do every week on Saturdays and sometimes on Sundays, too. Do we have a show tomorrow? We do. What time? Noon? 1 to 3. Okay. You would think that we would never get that, we would very quickly get to the end of the possibilities of what we would talk about on a program that's about nothing but food and restaurants and things that you eat and things that you drink, and that is the case. But we have been doing this for a little while, and it just occurred to me a few days ago that on the 18th of July, which is not far from now, it'll be the 30th anniversary of this radio show. Same host, same frequency, same everything. And proud of that. We'd love to hear from you about what you have been eating at home or what restaurants you've been going to. We have an official theme here today, which you can completely ignore, and you may as well because everybody else did. But I think it is a good question, so I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to keep asking until I get something on this. But what are, in your opinion, the best cold food and drinks that we eat or drink routinely, something that we really love? Especially this time of year, it's so hot out there that you want to have something to slake your nostrils. And there's so much to be discovered here. So I thought, you know, we'll surely have a lot of these. And I even made a bunch of categories like frozen stuff and like cold seafood and cocktails and oysters and salads and snowballs and all that. What do you like to eat or drink that's really nice and cold and perfect for right now? I'm sorry, I was talking while you were talking. Michael is here. Michael, welcome to the Food Show.
Good afternoon, Tom. I have two questions.
Ask me.
Okay. I have some friends coming in town, and they want, probably tonight, well, more likely we'll go tomorrow. They either want to go get a good hamburger. I said, well, either Lakeview Harbor or Port of Call. Now, I haven't been to both of them in like a few years, so which one would you recommend?
Well, the Port of Call has never changed. It has been what it is now since, well, the first time I ever went there was in 1967, and it had been going on for quite a while then. So it's good quality beef. They cut them into patties right there in the house. They grill it over a hot grill. These are all the things that I look for in a hamburger. But there's another one that has kind of popped up on the scene, although it's kind of funny. It's a restaurant called just simply The Grill. That's it. And it's in that new shopping area on Veterans Highway near Causeway Boulevard. It's right next door to Trader Joe's. And their hamburger, from a point of view of, you know, not all the dressings in the super thick burger and all that, but just in terms of flavor and everything else, that to me right now is the best hamburger in New Orleans. But it's kind of a, you know, a neighborhood feeling kind of place. The guys, it'll remind you of the Camellia Grill in some ways, and the and the guys behind the counter, they're always cutting up and banging things around, and the waiters are, you know, are always coming up to slap you five fingers, you know. It's a kick, and it'd be a little bit different.
Okay, I'll try that one too. And Tom, one more question. Yeah. I went to Hanson Snowballs, and
how long did you wait?
35 minutes.
That's not too bad, actually.
But I was wondering, do you think there's another good one? I think that's the best one, but do you think there's another one close to that? Do you have like a 1B or 1A compared to that one?
The what they do over there is so unusual that hardly anybody else in the business bothers with it. So that's why you're not going to see anything like Hanson's. Hanson's was a one of a kind, and still is. But I think my second, the one that people think about first anyway, is it's a couple of blocks off of Oak Street and Carrollton. Plum Street Snowballs. That's the one. That's definitely worth a look. And there are just zillions of them around town. There's a good one that it actually uses all the ingredients made by the man who invented the snowball machine. It's on Magazine Street, about 3-4 blocks before you get to Napoleon Avenue. It's on Magazine, as I say. And I think they call it the I think it's named for the actual snowball stand. The that's it. Snow Wizard is the name of it. Snow Wizard on Magazine Street.
Okay. Yeah. But I'll give you a report. If we go get a hamburger, I'll give you a call next week and let you know about it. But Snowball, hands down, I think is the best. But I thought maybe you knew of another one.
Oh, yeah. The two people who invented that, they opened the place in 1934. And they never changed hands. It was always the same family. And the two of them passed away right after Katrina. One of them died within about 3 or 4 weeks, and the other one was about a half a month later. They were the nicest people you could ever imagine talking to, the Hansons.
Well, I'll give you a report of the hamburger next week. Thank you very much.
All right. That would be perfect. Thank you very much. We always love getting your phone calls no matter what. Bill is here on the orange phone. Bill?
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm swell. Have a seat.
Good. I was calling to you. We're in right now. It's the brown shrimp season. Historically, it opened on the third Monday in May.
Yeah.
This year, it opened on the fourth Monday in May. The shrimp is still a little bit small. And the white shrimp, that's a fall.
Yeah. You know what? I was mixed up by the fact that it seemed to me like winter went on a little longer than usual, and the fall season hasn't come yet. Certainly. But you're right. When we were talking about this a little while ago, I had it wrong. It's exactly the way you just said.
Yeah. And Tom, brown shrimp are brown because of iodine, and white shrimp are white for lack of iodine. I shrimp in Lake Bourne for 25 years. And, you mentioned a river shrimp, but there's another one. We have another shrimp called a prawn, and, they're big. You can catch prawns.
Yeah.
They're, 6 to 8 ounces each.
Oh, and from all over the world too. They come from everywhere, those prawns. But when you look up the word prawn in like a food dictionary or something like that, you'll find that there are no two people who agree on whether a prawn is a really big shrimp or is a prawn a really little shrimp. It's one or the other, but I've heard both in about the same equal.
Yeah, I know in Asia they raise prawns, and they're fairly small, but they also have really big prawns in Asia. I've caught them in Lake Bourne, and I have seen them two to a pound.
Well, you know how it is around here. We have the quality of all of our seafood is so fantastic that even if you lop off the, 50% of them, you still have lots of really great shrimp.
I mean,
it's terrific. We are very fortunate in this town.
Most of our crabs are going up to Maryland, and
I know, but they're making money on that, and not just the crabs either. It's the soft shells, as you mentioned, but also their oysters come from. A lot of their oysters come from here.
Absolutely, and you pay $125 a dozen for balled crabs.
Oh yeah, don't even. I would feel like I was really had been screwed big time if I'd have.
And they can't keep
paid.
Them in stock, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for for updating me on that.
All right, Tom. Take care.
Thank you. See ya. It's the food show. If you ever tasted a shrimp that had kind of a flavor or an aroma of iodine, this is an interesting phenomenon. There is a worm that lives on the ground. Well, I guess it's not the ground. On the bottom of, let's say, Lake Pontchartrain. And they're funny little worm-looking things, and they're called acorn worms, and they're kind of squat, and their heads do look like acorns. But they build up in their tissues, they build up a lot of iodine, which is really in the water of the lake, ultimately, but these these funny little worms absorb it. And if the shrimp eat those worms, you're going to have that medicinal kind of a flavor in your shrimp, which you never want. It's just not good to the fine palate. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. It's great to be here with you talking about food and restaurants and wine and everything. My main question today is cold and hot, food and drink. And which is your favorite around there? And our program today is sponsored by Cousins Salad Dressings. I remember when these folks first came on the scene, they were working at the farmer's market. I think it was the one on the West Bank, if I'm not mistaken. And they were just chugging along, and they were selling a lot of their salad dressing. But everybody was raving about them, and they started coming in. And instead of buying one bottle of it, they'd get a whole case of it to bring home. And they had to keep it in the refrigerator because there was nothing in it that wasn't a fresh product. This was never a stamped multi-million of them at a time kind of item here. They always kept them in the refrigerators. And that is still the case. And Cousins Salad Dressing since then has grown to be really an enormous operation. They sell their salad dressing all over Texas and Louisiana and certainly all around New Orleans. Look for it in the produce department, the refrigerated part of the produce department, not on the shelf with all the other things in a bottle. It's Cousins Salad Dressings. You will love this stuff, not just for salads. They're great on sandwiches and burgers and stuff like that. Cousins Salad Dressings. It's the Food Show. We'll return with more of it in a moment, but first, please, this. Hello there. You are listening to the Food Show on 105.3 FM HD1. And also in a host of other places like the podcast and the feed on the computer and your smartphones and so many ways that you can listen to our show and also the Big 870 WWL and WWL 105.3 FM. This is Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's great to be here with you every Saturday and Sunday usually, and that's the case this weekend too, and hope to get a call or two from you about things that you have found to be especially delicious lately. And if you're looking for deliciousness that you haven't been able to find, at least not in the amounts that you're hoping for, call me. I have been writing a weekly column about restaurants since September 1st, 1972. I'm not making this up. And it's just something, it's an obsession with me. And I'd like to share what my thoughts are, but even more important to me is that if you have found a good new restaurant, I would love to find out what it is and what do you like about it. And please understand, I'm not trying to sneak this away from you because of any idea that if you tell everybody about your favorite restaurant, soon you won't be able to get in it because it'll be packed. That is not true. And you ask anybody in the restaurant business if they would like or dislike the fact that anybody would ever say, oh, you got to go to that place. Nobody knows about it. That restaurateurs hate hearing that. They want everybody to come in their restaurants all the time. And who could blame them? And those are the good ones anyway. So if you've got a good restaurant to talk about, call me. A couple of nights ago, my wife and I went to Del Porto on the North Shore. I think it's the best Italian restaurant in the city, which will strike you as maybe unusual if you only saw the menu and very little else about the food. You would taste a style of Italian cooking, very much so. I've been to Italy 7 times now at some great length, and I can tell you that the kind of food that you get in Italy is dramatically different from what we get here, even if you and the person who makes your meatballs knows all about it or says they know all about it. It's never quite the same. And if you ever get the chance to go to Italy, though, I will tell you, go there and enjoy. You will love it. In fact, the big boss of our radio station's just headed over there. I gave him a few points to check out while he was there. They really love to eat in Italy. They're almost as avid in their eating as we are here in New Orleans with ours. Our number is 260-1870, 260-1870. the theme of our show today, which you can ignore if you want to. It's just something to a conversation starter, and most of the time it doesn't work, but I do it anyway. The best cold food and drinks in your mind, the ones that when you think, oh, I'm so hot and sweaty, I want something that will bring my body temperature down, slake my thirst, all this. What do you eat or drink? What is your favorite? I'm going to give you some categories here. Frozen stuff. You know, there's so many frozen things out there that are really, you know, ice cream being the first one that comes to my mind. But cold seafood, you eat shrimp remoulade, as we mentioned earlier. That is better when it's cold than when it's, you know, like medium temperature or certainly warm. You don't want that. Crab meat dishes are that way to a large extent. And there are plenty of other dishes that we just love around here, but we love them to be cold. Like, you know, in Italy they have carpaccio. This is raw beef, ice cold. It's great. Try it sometime. And then you have your cocktails. My favorite cocktail at the moment, although I hesitate to order them because I really don't have the capacity to drink more than about a half of a cocktail. And this one is called a Negroni, N-E-G-R-O-N-I. It's an old classic Italian cocktail from a long way back. It involves gin, Campari, some vermouth, and a little slice of orange, and then you've got it. And if you're really doing it well, you'll have an enormous chunk of ice in the glass that you were drinking this from. This is wonderful if you like cocktails. You always make sure you have an extra driver there. I'm so happy, you know, that my wife and I got together because she hardly drinks at all. And this has been my job for a long time, so she is my designated driver. I recommend that to you as well, as you might imagine. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. We'd love to talk with you about wine. And Mike is calling us over here on the Mike, welcome to the Food Show.
Hey, Tom. Thanks very much. Hey, super fast call. This may not
take your time.
Thank you. May not actually qualify as a cold food, but when I think of eating in New Orleans in the summertime, hot weather, man, there's nothing like a muffaletta from Central Grocery. I mean, you know, not cold, but not hot, right? I mean,
not hot.
Best sandwich on the planet and the real deal. So that's a suggestion for a great meal, hot New Orleans summertime. But on another topic you were just talking on with a gentleman about burgers, and you might have mentioned this. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I had to get out of the car for just a minute, but I found a place in Slidell, which you may know about. I think it's on 190. I can't remember. Had lunch there once about a month and a half ago called the Burger Grind. Are you familiar with that, or have you talked about it?
I've heard about it, but I have not been there. It's good?
Man, it's phenomenal. I think what the owner does is kind of grind up half high-quality chuck and half brisket. And I don't
sounds good.
In it at all. Man, phenomenal.
You know, I'm sorry to cut you off in the middle of this, but give me the name of it again just quick.
It's called the Burger Grind, I believe.
Burger Grind.
Yep.
We will give it a try. Thanks for calling. We'll be back. We have a news update here for you on the Big 870 WWL and WWL 105.3 FM. Stay tuned. Oh, here we are again. We're halfway through the program. Gosh, man, that went quickly. This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the Food Show. It's nice to be here with you talking about the food scene around New Orleans. We do restaurants. If you found a good one, let me know. If you found a bad one, let me know. And we also, special issue this time around, I'm asking you about cold food and drink. What are your favorites? What do you find absolutely necessary on a hot, hot day like today? Give me a call, or about anything you want. We're wide open on any subject about food at any time you want. Larry is calling us over here on the black phone. Larry?
Yeah, hi.
Hi there.
Yeah, hey, you was talking about cold food and cold drinks. Well, I got a mix of both front for you. You'll know of Acme.
The Acme Oyster House, you mean?
Yes, sir. I'm actually going there tonight. I live on the North Shore, and for a hot day, they got what you want. They have what they call an oyster shot. You know, a vodka with, you know, an oyster in it with the red sauce and stuff in it. That's a mix of both there, and I love it. I'm going to get one of them.
I've had it a couple of times, and it's pretty good. It makes a good appetizer at the beginning of a meal. But when it comes down to oysters, I'm kind of a purist. Oysters are my favorite food. And to me, you just don't get better than a big platter of about a dozen really nice big Gulf oysters. To me, that's the peak. You'd never get better than that. But what you're talking about will grab you, that's for sure.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm going to do tonight, some raw oysters. But I'm also going to have a shot or two of both cold and food and drink mixed together. And, man, I love it.
It's unique. You know who I think started that? The first place I ever saw it anyway was at the Palace Cafe on Canal Street in the old building that used to be Werlein's. And it might have been around before that, but that's the first place I ever saw that. And I thought, this is a great idea because you can make them in advance, you know, like several dozen, and just put them out there and people just knock them back. You don't have to mess with the oyster shell or anything like that.
Yes, sir. I enjoy a couple dozen oysters and maybe two or three of those to go with it. But there you have it. You have both. You have your cold food and your cold drink mix.
There you go. And it doesn't hurt to have a beer, too.
Definitely. Thank you, sir.
Anyway, before you go, I'm going to ask you a question. Let's see how close you get to this. When did the Acme Oyster House originally open? Just take a guess at what year it originally opened.
Okay, since I think it was over here by us, I can tell you the original one area say back in the 80s. And it used to be by the railroad station, the old railroad station in Covington.
Yeah, and that's right. That's exactly right. So, but the year the Acme Oyster House opened was, believe it or not, 1910, before World War One. How you like that?
I'd
say they're holding on pretty well after all these years. All right, well, it's nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, see you later. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. We have a lot of old restaurants in New Orleans. Let's see if I can give you a substantial part of the list. The oldest restaurant in town is Antoine's in 1840. The second oldest, and there's a little dispute about this, but it appears to be the Bon Ton, which goes back to the 1870s. And let's see. Galatoire's opened in 1905, I'm pretty sure, and Arno's was 1880. I got all that backwards. 1815, and we have a lot of very old restaurants here, even more than a place like New York City or San Francisco, where you would think that they would be ahead of us. But no, we're the equals in terms of our restaurants and our food in general for any other organization or restaurant or anything that is in this country. It's America's best eating city. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. We'd love to hear from you, particularly if you will address our cold food and drink question today. By the time I got to be, I would have been about 19. I was 14 years old. I was working in a Time Saver, and something I did for a very long time. And they got in a machine while I was working there that they said was going to revolutionize those kind of stores. And it was. It was called an Icy. As a matter of fact, I think they're still being made out there. And you are listening to the person who was the first employee of any organization that actually served ICEs. I don't think anybody had them before I did, because I remember the store they were in was the one out on Veterans Highway at Green Acres. And because I was so young, I shouldn't have even been working there at all for labor laws. Anyway, they handed me a cup and they said, just turn that little dial. And I did. And it came out and it was this very nice, silky almost kind of stuff in different kind of flavors. And then it spattered all over me. So I operated the very first icy machine in New Orleans, and I lived to tell about it. And I just did, and there you go. So now you can tell people that you know who the person is who made the first ICs. I never did like them all that much. I think snowballs just can't be beat. I mean, when what you want to do is chill your whole body down and get some flavor in there, some kind. But snowballs, do you agree, or am I just being nuts about this? Our program today is sponsored by Paran's Poor Boys. Paran's Poor Boys can go many different directions, as you will quickly learn if you go to any of their three locations. Three locations? I thought there were only two, Tom. Well, there are three now, and I'll tell you about the other one in a minute. But over there, the kind of food that for which they are famous is the roast beef poor boy. And the reason it is as good as it is that from the get-go, from the very first day, Paran's Poor Boys made all their poor boys in the same way that all the New Orleans joints around town always used. I had a few poor boys when I was even younger than I mentioned a few minutes ago. And it was my godfather. He went to some bar that he used to go to, and he gave me a roast beef poor boy to eat. And the wife of the guy who owned the bar, she did all the cooking. It was kind of like a home-style deal. And it is that to this very day. I mean, they have professional cooks now. But that's how they started, and it's been 20, let's see, they opened in 1925. No, that can't be right. 1975, that's Paran's, once when they first opened in Metairie, and they are there ever since. And the guy who opened it is a guy I went to high school with. I mean, it's pure New Orleans. Paran's Poor Boys now has a third location. The original on Veterans, 3939 Veterans, is still there. The one on West Esplanade. West Esplanade, just off of Williams Boulevard, and now the new one is on Britannia Street, just across the street from Upper Line, the restaurant and the street, and it is packed all the time, according to everybody who tells me about it. So that's what's going on over at Paran's Poor Boys. A few changes lately, and changes for the better. And this is The Food Show. We'll come back with more of it in a moment. But first, if you will, this Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's wonderful to be here with you talking about food and restaurants and cooking and wine and all of that. You are more than welcome to bring up anything you want about food. If there's something you want to know, call me up and tell me. If I don't know it myself, I'm not trying to say that I'm the place where all the data lives. But I do like talking about all this, and if I don't know the answer, we'll find somebody who does, and we almost always do. So give us a shot at that. And if you've got all your bearings, but you have found a few restaurants that you think are really good that haven't been talked about much, give me a call about that. What I find lately is that even if you go during the middle of the week, most restaurants are completely full. During the last week or so, when we had some Father's Day things going on and a few other things, every restaurant we went to, we had to practically plead to get a table, including some that are owned by good friends of mine. Although being a friend shouldn't automatically get you into a restaurant. That's a no-no if you ask me. But there it is. 260-1870 is our telephone number. We would love to talk with you about really anything you are interested in bringing up. But our official subject, which you can completely ignore as of my saying it, is about cold foods and drinks, things that you eat when it's cold outside, or when it's definitely not cold outside, but when you find yourself just with a hunger for something that's kind of cold and meaty, and there are so many different ways you can go, everything from snowballs up to shrimp remoulade. I mean, just lots and lots of great dishes. Tell me some of your favorites, would you mind? Our number is 260-1870, 260-1870. Call right now. You'll get right in. You won't have to wait at all. You can also send us a text message to 870-870. Don't expect a response from me there, not because I don't want to, but because I don't have that over here at the Coolwater Ranch. However, I do read all the emails that I get, and I get somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 emails a day. So it might take me a couple of days to get around to you, but if there's something you've been dying to know about this or that restaurant, or if there is somebody who used to be a waiter in a restaurant you always like going to, and you have no idea where that waiter is now and if he even existed, again, call us, and we will dig up this info. Cynthia is joining us as we keep plunging ahead here. Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to the Food Show.
Hi. How are you?
I'm pretty good today.
Hello?
You can't hear me?
Yes, now I can. I wanted to make a comment. I wanted to make a comment on Pyran's Po' Boys, the one uptown.
All right.
My husband and I are native New Orleanians, and we had lunch there last week. We each got a roast beef po' boy, and I must tell you, their roast beef po' boy cannot stand up to either Parasol's or Parkway Bakery po' boy.
Yeah.
The meat was not seasoned. The bread was not toasted. There was very little meat on the sandwich, and, of course, you know, there's no parking there. So aside from the parking issue, we just did not find the po' boy delightful in any way.
Well, try them again. You know, restaurants are constantly changing. It's hard to keep personnel sometimes. And, of course, you did tell them this when you were there, right?
We did. Yeah, we did.
And what did they say?
In a very polite way, obviously. They didn't say very much of anything. The young man who brought out the sandwiches, we told the lady at the counter that. We did not believe that their po' boy was up to the standards of a really good New Orleans po' boy.
Well, there's part of this is that there are no two that are alike. I mean, everybody has a different approach to po' boys. And I will say this, the other ones that you named are pretty darn good. I mean, you pick the cream of the crop. But I'll tell you what, send a letter to the guy who owns the place. I don't have his name right in front of me, but tell him you talked to me, and let's see what they will do for it. All right, it's the Food Show. AJ is over here on the yellow phone. AJ, welcome.
Yes, I have three things I want to build.
Thing number one. All right.
When I was a kid, I went to a restaurant called Carlton Station.
Mm-hmm.
By the Carlton Barn on Willow Street.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine owned it, and they made their po' boys from scratch, their roast beef, and they were absolutely great.
Yeah, that's what it takes. What was the name of the place again?
Carlton Station.
Carlton Station.
It is now a sort of a nightclub.
Yeah, it's a bar. I mean, they have live music all the time there, I think. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Another thing is the thing that cools me off the most is watermelon.
Cools you off? I like it. Oh, I see.
Ice cold watermelon.
Do you have a special way of doing them? Or
just
digging in?
You just make sure it's ice cold, and after eating it, your whole body feels cool.
Yes, that is true. And you know what? They're figuring out new ways of taking apart. Basically, that's the best expression I can give it. Watermelon in such ways you can make these kind of cubes that are very intense. They kind of squeeze them together so they but they're full of juice. They're amazing to eat. It's this is something some local chefs have come up with. But, yeah, you can't go too far wrong with watermelon.
The other thing is, 20, 30 years ago, I would go to restaurants, and they had some sort of veal dish, and it was like a cube steak or so.
You know what? Can I ask you for a minute here? I have to take a break, but we'll come back. This sounds interesting. All right, hang on. We'll be right back with more of the Food Show after first, please. It's the Food Show. We have AJ we were talking to a minute ago. AJ, let's pick up where we left off.
Yes, I would have in restaurants for usually a lunch meal.
Yeah.
It would be like a veal patty, like a serrated patty, and it would be breaded.
Yeah.
Do you know the name of this dish, or?
Well, it sounds like pané veal to me. That's what I would call it.
Well, the thing is, it was cheap. The price of veal is so expensive today.
Well, it depends on what cut of the veal you're going to use. If you're using veal tenderloin or veal. Or ossobuco or something like that, the price can get up there. But if you're using, for example, round, even, I'm thinking about the various kinds, but the veal leg is really what you want. And that's not particularly expensive. Veal used to be thought of as very cheap, and then it became very expensive, and now it's back down to kind of in the middle.
Okay, thank you then.
But any Italian restaurant at all in town will have that dish and probably won't be that expensive. I don't think you'd find it that way. All right, we have more or less come to the end of the second hour of the Food Show here. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Our show is sponsored today and in a whole lot of other days by The Grill. The Grill has a counter, and you can sit at the counter or you can sit at a table. It's right next door to Trader Joe's, and they are doing an unusual, to put it mildly, array of sandwiches, both hot and cold, and wonderful appetizers and breakfasts. And all of this it's like something out of the diner age and worth your time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.